Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. And we'll start with the commercial news. And our first story from the front page is entitled City to Try Again for Sewer Funds. This is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Estimated expenses related to the Northwest Sanitary Sewer Project to be included in a loan request have increased by almost $3 million. City Engineer Sam Cole said the city will include some costs that have already been paid, such as for design and construction engineering, due to the potential for up to 30% forgiveness with the loan. It's more of a strategy to get costs paid, Cole said, adding the partial loan forgiveness is not guaranteed. He said they're including possible extra cost contingencies. Even if they receive a similar construction bid, issues can happen in construction resulting in additional costs, but then the city might not need the entire loan amount. Members of the City Council's Public Works Committee tonight will consider authorizing the city to borrow about $9.3 million from the Water Pollution Control Loan Program through the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. With loan approval, construction could start this fall. According to the resolution, the estimated cost includes construction, installation, engineering, legal, financial, and other related expenses. The principal and interest payment will be payable semi-annually, with the loan maturing in 20 years, which is within the 25-year useful life of the project. The city will repay the loan from its storm and sanitary sewer fund. The project includes sanitary sewer improvements within the Northwest Sanitary Sewer Service Area reconstruction to include renovating two existing lift stations, decommissioning an existing lift station, constructing a new lift station with a control building, and rerouting sanitary force mains and gravity sewers. The rerouting will save power and provide a more efficient flow scheme over the existing layout, according to the resolution. Active residential, commercial, industrial, and other service connections in this area total 11,686. The project schedule is to submit to the IEPA certification of plans and specifications by March 15, 2020. Advertise for bids June 1, 2020. Open bids July 7, 2020. Initiation of construction September 1, 2020. And completion of construction September 1, 2021. Aldermen in June of 2019 rejected a $6.2 million contract with Cross Construction of Urbana for the new gravity sewer, force main, pump stations, a pipe pedestrian bridge, and bridge joint replacement. The improvements were to take place through Chateau Estates and along Old Ottawa and Denmark roads. A previous estimate for construction and other related expenses had been $7.5 million. Cole said a previous $6.5 million loan application had not been sent in for the project. City officials hope to find out in June if the loan is included in the IEPA's fiscal year 2021 allocations. Funds could be released in late July, according to Cole. This project doesn't yet address any roadway improvements. Our next story is entitled Be Involved. Young people urged to participate in local King events. And this is also by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. It is the hope of longtime Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Committee Chairwoman Mary Thompson that more young people get involved with the committee and its annual activities. The Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Committee's annual two-day celebration of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, Pursuing Peace Together, will begin with the MLK Scholarship Banquet at 4 p.m. Sunday at the Days Hotel, 77 North Gilbert Street. Thompson said this year's theme means to her, "We are still trying to accomplish what we started out to do." The banquet will feature a performance by When Shepherds Worship, a gospel group from Chicago. "I heard they were really good," Thompson said of the singing group. Also, the banquet will include the presentation of an MLK scholarship to a Danville graduating high school senior who plans to pursue an education at an institution of higher learning. The $4,000 scholarship is to any college of the recipient's choosing, said Sandra Finch, Human Relations Administrator with the city. The admission fee for the banquet is $20. For ticket information, call the Danville Human Relations Department at Danville City Hall at 431-2280. The second program on Monday, January 20th, will begin with a motorcade parade. Thompson hopes the weather cooperates this year. It was too cold last year for marchers, but the motorcade still occurred. The lineup for the motorcade and parade will begin at 10 a.m. Monday at the corner of Main Street and Logan Avenue, and the procession will start at 10:30 a.m. The motorcade will turn east on Main Street, and it will travel north on Vermilion Street. Then it will turn right onto Seminary Street and travel until it gets to the corner of Jackson and Seminary. It will then make a left onto Jackson Street, travel on Jackson Street to the corner of Jackson and Williams, pause for a small ceremony at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Monument, and then proceed west on Williams Street to Vermilion Street. It will turn right on Vermilion and then turn left onto Davis and park on the northwest side of St. James United Methodist Church's parking lot. The celebration service at St. James United Methodist Church, 504 North Vermilion Street, will start at 11:30 a.m. Monday. The Reverend Daniel J. Garrett, pastor of Spirit Redeemed Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago, will serve as the speaker for the program. Also, the Danville MLK Mass Choir, under the direction of Brett Dupree, will perform. The public is invited to the celebration service, and there is no admission fee. Those interested in participating in the Mass Choir can attend remaining rehearsals at 7 p.m. on Thursday at the Second Baptist Church at 940 Franklin Street, and at 7 p.m. on Saturday at St. James. "I look forward to it," Thompson said about the annual events. "I feel we need to get some young blood in there," she also added. Thompson encourages the public to attend the events to hear a wonderful singing group and speaker. "It's just something that our community looks forward to every year," Finch said. For banquet tickets or additional information, contact Chair Mary Thompson at 442-7917 or the city's Human Relations Department at 431-2280. And our last story from the front page of the commercial news today is entitled "Firearms Dealers See New Rules on Friday." And this is by Peter Hancock from Capital News, Illinois. Springfield. New rules governing how retail gun dealers do business go into effect Friday and include the types of records they must keep, how weapons and ammunition are to be stored, and the kinds of video surveillance and security systems they must maintain. The rules, established by the Illinois State Police, are scheduled to be published on the Illinois Register on Friday, will go into effect almost 1 year to the day after Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the Firearm Dealer License Certification Act into law. The act requires firearm dealers who have a federal firearm license to also obtain a state certificate and comply with state regulations. Pritzker signed the bill, the first of his administration, after it passed during the 2018 legislative session. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner was in office when it passed, but Democratic Senate President John Cullerton used a procedural maneuver to hold on to the bill because Rauner had vetoed similar legislation that spring. The bill was viewed at the time as a response to rising gun violence in parts of Illinois, especially Chicago. It was aimed at preventing theft or other diversion of guns from firearms dealers and to crack down on so-called straw purchases, in which someone buys a gun on behalf of someone else who is legally prohibited from owning a gun. ISP initially proposed administrative rules in August and held a public hearing on October 24th in Springfield. But those proposed rules sparked fierce pushback from gun dealers around the state, who said compliance would be excessively expensive. Of particular concern was a proposed rule that would have required dealers to maintain video surveillance at several points in their stores. Dealers would have also had to maintain those recordings for 90 days and back them up to an off-site storage system such as a cloud or a server. I know stores that have over 125 cameras in there, said Todd Vandermeide, executive director of the Federal Firearm Licensees of Illinois, a gun dealer trade association. You're not requiring a backup system. You're requiring a backup generator. He went on to describe the rule as requiring such a dealer to be able to upload 125 high-definition Netflix movies simultaneously. Gun dealers also complained about other proposed rules that would have required them to have written plans for storing all inventory both during business hours and after closing, and to keep ammunition in a restricted area of the store not accessible to customers. Some gun shop owners said the compliance would be impossible. Hundreds of dealers have paid $1,500 license fees, confident that they could meet the letter of the law, and now they find that they can't because of the rules that have been proposed. Valinda Rowe, spokeswoman for gun rights advocacy group IllinoisCarry.com, said during the hearing. Following that hearing, the ISP revised many of the proposed rules, eliminating the requirement for backup storage of video surveillance, according to a copy of the rules provided by the Illinois State Police. But that pushed the rulemaking process beyond January 2nd, when gun dealers were to come into compliance with many portions of the new law. As a result, ISP is using its emergency rulemaking powers, which allow regulatory agencies to put rules into effect immediately for a maximum of 150 days, while final rules are being drafted. Those proposed final rules could be subject to another public hearing, further revision and review by the General Assembly's Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, or JCAR. The law is also the target of a lawsuit filed by the Illinois State Rifle Association, as well as several gun shops. Plaintiffs argue the law places onerous restrictions on firearms dealers that would force many stores to close and others to pass the higher costs on to those who would be seeking to exercise their constitutional right to keep and bear arms. That lawsuit is pending in Sangamon County Circuit Court. Our next story is entitled Fire's Cause Continues to Be Investigated. This is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. There were no injuries in a weekend apartment building fire that displaced residents. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. Danville firefighters responded at 6:39 p.m. Saturday to a report of a fire at an apartment complex at 1212 Garden Drive. According to the Danville Fire Department, firefighters upon arrival to the 8-unit building found smoke coming from the first floor and fire from a vent on the roof. Firefighters conducted a primary search for occupants and initially found two apartments on fire. Conditions got to be too hot, and then firefighters went defensive, according to the fire department. The fire was knocked down, and then firefighters re-entered the building to pulling the ceiling and do overhaul. A secondary search was also conducted. The American Red Cross and also Danville Mass Transit with a bus assisted, displaced residents needing to be relocated. Estimated value of damage was $250,000 to the building and $125,000 in contents. The Illinois State Fire Marshal's Office was called to assist in the investigation. Danville firefighters stayed on scene until 1:06 a.m. on Sunday. They then returned from 8:04 p.m. to 9:31 p.m. Sunday for smoldering insulation. The American Red Cross, serving Central Illinois, thanked its volunteers and staff on social media who provided care and assistance to the displaced residents. The Red Cross recommends two easy steps to help protect your home and loved ones from a fire. Get a smoke alarm and create a fire escape plan. The Red Cross installs free smoke alarms year-round. To schedule an appointment or to get a free installation in your home, visit getasmokealarm.org. And now we'll turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. The first one that we have is for Sally A. Nixon. Sally Ann Nixon, 77, passed away Sunday, January 12, 2020, at Colonial Manor in Danville, Illinois. A celebration of life service will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, January 16th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Terry Goodwin. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. the evening prior on Wednesday, January 15th at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Sally's name to Second Church of Christ or Carl Hospice. Lois Ellis. Lois Ellis, 83, of Danville, passed away at home on Wednesday, January 8, 2020. Graveside services will be at 10 a.m. Friday, January 17th, at Oak Hill Cemetery on Shangri-La Road, west of Danville. Donations may be made in Lois's name to a local animal organization. Stephen Stacy. Stephen R. Stacy, 72, of Danville, passed away at 9:25 p.m. Saturday, January 11, 2020, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, January 16th, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Danville. Pastor Kent Tibben will officiate. Burial will follow in Lutheran Cemetery in Danville. The family will receive friends from 10 a.m. until service time Thursday at Trinity Lutheran Church. Memorials to Trinity Lutheran Church. The Robison Chapel in Catlin is handling service arrangements. Harold Cundiff. Harold W. Cundiff, 94, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away Sunday, January 12, 2020, at Union Hospital in Terre Haute, Indiana. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Tuesday, January 14th, at Frist Funeral Home in Clinton, Indiana. Funeral services will follow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time at the funeral home, with Reverend Ronnie Ingram officiating. Burial will follow at Thomas Cemetery in Newport, Indiana. Helen Corzine. Helen Corzine, 90, of Fithian, passed away January 11, 2020, at her home surrounded by her family. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Wednesday, January 15th, with funeral service starting at 2 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with Pastor Dave Anderson officiating. Burial will take place at Stearns Cemetery in Fithian. memorials may be made in her name to the Alzheimer's Association. Sharon Hoag. Sharon L. Hoag, 79, lifelong Fairmount area resident, passed away at 5:28 a.m. Wednesday, January 8, 2020, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral service will be at noon on Wednesday, January 15, at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Reverend Mike Roberts will officiate. Burial will follow in Greenview Cemetery in Fairmount. Family will receive friends from 10 a.m. to noon Wednesday at Robison Chapel. Memorials to Baby Fold or the Donor's Choice in care of Robison Chapel. Arnold Smiley. Arnold Dean Smiley, 85, of Danville, passed away on January 10, 2020, peacefully at his home. A graveside service for Dean will be at 1 p.m. Wednesday, January 15, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Park, with Pastor Greg Taylor officiating. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is in charge of arrangements. Mary Alice Baldwin. Mary Alice Baldwin, 87, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, January 11, 2020, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. Thursday, January 16, 2020, with a service following at 3 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with Pastor Mark List officiating. Burial will take place at Sunset Memorial Park. Memorials can be made in Mary's name to the Rheumatoid Arthritis Foundation. Robert Foster. Robert Foster, 90, of Rossville, died at 7:15 a.m. Monday, January 13, 2020, at Iroquois Memorial Resident Home in Watseka. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. Laura Louise Lawless. Laura Louise Lawless, 102, died at 6:39 p.m. Friday, January 10, 2020, at North Logan Healthcare Center in Danville. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Thursday at Partlow Cemetery, Armstrong. Pastor Randy Holden will officiate. Blurton Funeral Home at 400 North Vermilion Street in Potomac is in charge of arrangements. Sally Nixon. Sally Ann Nixon, 77, passed away on Sunday, January 12th. 2020 at Colonial Manor in Danville. A celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, January 16, 2020 at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Terry Goodwin. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be held the evening prior on Wednesday, January 15, 2020, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Sally's name to the Second Church of Christ or Carl Hospice. And that concludes the obituaries for Tuesday. We'll turn now to the News Gazette for the Rediscover Danville column. And this one is entitled Winter Doldrums, Check Out the Library, by Carol Nichols. The Danville Public Library at 319 North Vermilion Street in Danville is a great resource for something to do no matter what time of year. Your library card is your ticket. not just to a limitless world of literature available to be checked out or perused, but a long list of things to do for all ages. Wee Wiggler's Storytime at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays contains songs, stories, and serious silliness for the youngest book lovers from birth to 24 months with their caregiver in the children's program room. Preschool Pals Playgroup meets at 10 a.m. on Wednesdays for little ones 2 to 6 and their caregivers. Tween Gaming allows a chance to socialize while gaming for ages 8 to 11, also on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. School-age children can make fun snacks at the Kids Snack Club at 3:30 on Tuesdays. Teen Maker Thursdays lets teens discover their crafty side with art projects each week at 5 p.m. in the Teen Zone for those aged 12 to 18. Also in January, there is Wonder Garden Club for ages 5 to 11, Tween 3D Printer Class in the Teen Makerspace for ages 8 to 11, and Meeting of the Teen Minds on Wednesday at 5 p.m. where teens can discuss topics of importance to them. Special holidays from school are a chance for special events. On Monday, the library will celebrate civil rights activist Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with crafts and a documentary shown throughout the day in the children's room. 10 Things You May Not Know About Martin Luther King Jr. for ages 5 to 12. There are things to do for adults, too. Senior coffee time from 9:30 to 11 a.m. on Fridays for those 60 and older with a hot cup of coffee or tea, snacks, games, and good conversation. Want to stay in shape? Free Pilates sessions are offered on Saturdays at 4 p.m. using a variety of instructional videos. Read and discuss murder mysteries with the book club's Our Murder group at 6 p.m. on January 23rd when the group reads The Inspector and Mrs. Jeffries by Emily Brightwell. Or be a part of the library's Coffee and Comics and Mad Goat South on January 28th from 6 to 7 p.m. when the group discusses Batman, I Am Gotham, Rebirth Version 1 by Tim King and David Finch. Books can be borrowed on paper or through your computer, phone, or tablet as e-books, thanks to Digital Library of Illinois. If you don't have a device, you can borrow that too. Maybe you will be so inspired by reading that you will want to write. The Danville Public Library Writers Group brings together aspiring and accomplished writers of all levels to learn about writing and publishing, sharing their work for helpful feedback. Next session is Saturday, January 25th, from 10 a.m. to noon. Do you want to use your downtime this winter to do some crafting? Your library card also gives you access to creativebug.com, a library of instructional videos on how to make lots of great jewelry, home decor, knitting and crocheting items, kid crafts, and more. Rediscover the Danville Public Library. And lastly, from the Community Briefs column, Danville American Legion Post 210 announced its activities for the week. Tonight is Taco Night from 5 to 7 p.m. with the Dixie Flyer Band performing from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday's menu includes beef roast from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday features vegetable soup, beef and cheddar from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Friday includes fish and a full menu from 5 to 7:30 p.m. The post will be closed on January 19th, and all are welcome. Also, the Lions are to meet. Jason Rome, executive director for the Fisher Theater, will speak at noon on Thursday to the Danville Lions Club in Spanky's Banquet Hall, 409 East Main Street. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. Again, my name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope you have a fantastic day. Take care.